there's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. It's a gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think the gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten, and I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy, from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to my second anniversary show. I think I've got a good show lined up for tonight, and it includes a special interview with one of my favorites and one of the best lesbian folk singers, Jamie Anderson. So please stick around for that. But to start off, I want to share with you the music of a new group from the Minneapolis area. This group is a bunch of four dykes, and I can get away with saying it that way because that's kind of how they named their group. They recorded an interview for me, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Dee Wolf.
I'm Renee.
I'm Casey.
I'm Kimberly June.
We're the 40 Yikes, and the name of our new CD is Hot Flash.
Before we get any further, I'd like one of you to explain the name of your group.
This is Renee. The name of our band kind of came out of our experience of all turning 40 and sitting there and looking at each other and going, my God, we're 40. What are we going to do with the rest of our lives? 40 Yikes to us is the double entendre, of course, of 40 yikes and also four dykes. And so it really works for our band.
And how would you describe your music?
This is Dee. I guess I would describe our music as a fairly eclectic mix of all of our influences from the past. That could be anything from blues to rock to folk to country music. And I guess each of the songs kind of reflects whatever we happen to be influenced on in that particular song.
One of my favorite songs on the CD is called If It Takes All Night. That was written by Dee. Could you please tell us about that?
You know, when I wrote If It Takes All Night, I guess I was kind of thinking about when I was initially coming out. I had been doing the bar scene and dating randomly, and I kept looking around and looking around for whoever would be the perfect person. And it was so difficult just even trying to meet people when you're first coming out. And ultimately what I ended up doing is finding someone that was in essence right in my own backyard. And that was probably one of the most enlightening pieces of that, is it was sort of a trashy search for I don't know what, and then ended up finding what I really truly wanted right next door.
Takes all night. Heading out west, put my feet in the sea. A it takes all night. Takes all night.
Many of the songs on the album were inspired by personal experiences. Renee wrote Hetero Blues.
Hetero Blues came out of personal experience, unfortunately. Or fortunately, I guess it contributed to my growth to be involved with women who at one point thought they were lesbians and then changed their minds. But I think I've probably learned a little from experience, and I really enjoy singing that song now.
I see you coming, can tell right away you are just another woman in it for the play. You're tired of your loving, you're tired of your man, and you think you'll get a little from a lesbian friend. I got news for you, don't want your hetero blues. I know the game, I played it before. Well, the missionary love has made you ever so bored. You do some exploring, you get what you can, then you go and leave me lonely and run back to your man. I got news for you, don't want your hetero blues. You think you found the answer, you like you find, and then a little while later you abruptly change your mind, and I'm left to mend. I know how it feels when a woman walks across you in 6-inch heels. I don't wanna be your type, I would rather give my loving to a genuine dyke. Cause I play the game and I have paid my dues by loving friendly women who were just as confused. I got news for you, don't want your hetero blues. I see you coming, tell right away you are just another woman in it for the play. You You're tired of your loving and you're tired of your man, and you think you'll get a little from a lesbian friend. I got news for you. Don't want your hetero blues. Yeah, I got news for you. Don't want your hetero blues.
I wanted to get a little bit into the background of how they got together, all over the age of 40, to form this group. So I asked them to take turns, giving their own versions of that.
This is Dee. When the band originally got together, it was kind of interesting. I had been playing with another band, and I was, of course, complaining and whining about how much I didn't like it to my friends. And I said, you know, let's just do this. You guys used to play. Let's get busy, and we'll throw it all together. And I basically beat them up and said, you know what, here's what's going to happen. You're going to go out and you're going to learn these instruments and we're going to start playing in a band. And ultimately, that's what ended up happening. And it was kind of interesting. At our age, I thought it was pretty amazing to go after a dream that everybody had when we were youngsters, more or less, and to pursue it now at this point in life and find that we really enjoy what we're doing and that we're finally, kind of putting it together and doing what we really believe in has been a hoot. That's all I can say is it's really been a hoot.
Kimberly June. Yeah, I was hanging out with my friends one day, and my buddy Dee was complaining about how much she hated being in the band she was in, and she asked me about my musical background. I told her I had some from high school, probably about 12 years. She asked me if I could learn how to play a bass guitar, and from that day forward, she wrote me out a chart on a little bar napkin. We won't say what bar. And anyways, she handed me her bass guitar and sent me on my way, and I came back a little while later, and I said, here, this is what I know, and by the way, I wrote a couple of songs to go with it.
This is Casey. I guess Dee really was the instigator for all of this. I used to play the drums a long, long time ago. Last time I probably played, I was 18 years old. And had pretty much forgotten all about that. But she convinced me that I should dust them off and learn how to play again and that we should all have a band. And seems to be working out pretty good so far.
This is Renee. I didn't have anything to do with it. They dragged me kicking and screaming into this whole thing.
Oh, get out of here. You are so much in trouble.
Yeah, after we dragged Renee up here, kicking and screaming by the hair, and got her up into the studio and sat down and started kind of jamming with things, it was just totally magic. It was just amazing how the energy of the group fell together instantly. And of all the bands that I've played with in the last, I don't know, 30-something years, it's not ever felt like this before. This is just such a good group of people. And coincidentally, a good group of musicians to go along with it. And I think that makes a tremendous amount of difference for how we feel as a band and how things work for us as a group.
Okay, one more song. Renee, please tell us about Tough Luck Buddy.
I wrote Tough Luck Buddy at a time in my life when I was not really out and I was wanting to be out. And I can remember sitting and talking to straight people, and particularly straight men, who would cry on my shoulder, and that was just kind of a fantasy for me to be able to stand up in a coffee shop and say, yo buddy, I hear about your wife, but you know what, that's another one for me.
I was sitting drinking coffee at the local Five and Dime when a man sat down beside me and proceeded then to whine about his lady seeing women, and how wasn't that a crime? Well, I got up with my coffee and I left him with this line. I said, tough luck, buddy. I said, it don't bother me, 'cause the world's full of changes that are setting people free.
That was Tough Luck Buddy from the album Hot Flash by the 4D Ikes. You can find out more about their music at www.4D-YKES.com.
No closet for me. No closet for me. Closets are for clothing and not for me.
This is Jamie Anderson, and there's no closet for me or you either when you listen to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
Closets are for clothing and not for me.
That was a little bit of Jamie Anderson singing No Closet. Also, be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night at midnight on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to mention that since there are often many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist. So therefore, for tonight's show, you'll be able to see photos of the 40 Ikes and Jamie Anderson. You can do that at www.queermusicheritage.com. I've been wanting to do an interview with Jamie Anderson for quite some time, and now that she's released a new CD, the timing is perfect. I've said this on the air before that Jamie is my favorite lesbian folk singer of the 90s, and I think she's well-deserved my respect. She's released 6 albums since 1989, in addition to producing a wonderful various artist release showcasing the work of other women artists. What is unique about her style is that she is able to combine such a variety of songs in her work. She's written some of the best songs that stand up for our rights as gay people, and she's able to do this not by hitting you over the head with it, but by turning phrases to make you think, and using her humor to deliver the message home before you know what's hit you. She makes using out lyrics look effortless. Now, there are a lot of gay and lesbian artists who have written or tried to write anthems for us. They often come out trite and belaboring, not Jamie's songs. And not only that, she can write songs that make you rock, and songs that make you get so serious that you just have to stop and reflect on the images she's created. And then she turns around and sings one of her funny songs that's just intended to be nothing but silly, and pow, you're smiling despite yourself. This interview gave me an opportunity to ask Jamie about some of my favorites from her past albums, and I certainly take advantage of that. Okay, let's get started. Jamie, welcome to Queer Music Heritage.
Thanks, JD. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Could you describe your musical style to someone who hasn't heard it?
I'm a contemporary folk singer-songwriter with a touch of country, rock, and world beat. And I do a couple blues tunes, too.
Who is your audience?
I think most of the people who listen to my music are lesbians. I do have a few straight fans and a few gay men who are fans, too.
Is it important for you to be out?
Yeah, it's very important for me to be out because that's one of the ways that I maintain the emotional integrity of my songs. If you're lying about who you are, then how good is the song? I mean, it's emotion that really drives a good song. I think it's important, too, to be a good role model for, especially for teenagers, you know, who are questioning their sexuality, or for adults who are, you know, might want to come out, or even for somebody who is straight who wants a way to support their gay, lesbian, and bisexual friends.
What gay and lesbian artists do you admire?
It's a long list. I'll touch on a few of them. I have a great deal of admiration for Meg Christian. I think she's a fabulous guitar player, a great writer, a good singer. She had wonderful stage presence. It was always great to see her in concert. And she was an out lesbian, a feminist, and said what she thought. And I really admire that. I'm also a big fan of Romanowski and Phillips. They started performing in the 70s. Unfortunately, they're not together anymore, but they were so brave and so courageous. They were pioneers, for lack of a better word. It's really not a very good word. Someone called me a pioneer one time, and I was kind of tempted to, like, go run for my bonnet and my covered wagon, you know. That is all kind of weird, but they were, you know, they started performing as an out gay couple in the 70s and went through a lot of crapola, you know, from straight audiences and even from, you know, gay and lesbian audiences, but they persevered and they put on a really entertaining show, one that was politically aware, but fun. And I really miss them. I wish they were still performing.
You're not the first person I've heard make those comments. When I interviewed Suede last June, she also singled out Romanowski and Phillips as being trailblazers for gay and lesbian artists. So what was your first exposure to women's music?
Well, back in the late 70s, I frequented a woman's bookstore in Phoenix where I was living. And I'm a big reading junkie, so I was in there all the time getting books. And I used to see this rack of albums. Mostly I ignored them because I thought, you know, who are these people? I don't hear them on the radio. Until one day I was in the store and they had an LP that has a picture of an orange can and it said lesbian concentrate on the can. And this was around the time that Anita Bryant, who was a spokesperson for the Florida Orange Juice Growers Association, was saying that, you know, homosexuality was going to ruin children and all kinds of weird stuff. Oh, she was part of a Save the Children campaign. That's what she called it. Anyway, so, you know, the cover was kind of a spoof on that. And I picked up the album and looked at it because the cover was so funny. And I noticed that it was a compilation, and I thought, well, you know, the cover is funny. It's a compilation. It's got a lot of different artists on it, you know. So if I don't like some of them, I may like others. Well, I'll take a chance. And so I bought the album, and I took it home and just flipped over it. I mean, here were women singing about my life. And I'd never heard that before. And there was poetry on there too, you know, talking about being a lesbian. And that was just so unique. And I went back to the bookstore and I bought all the albums of the individual artists who were on Lesbian Concentrate. I had to own them. And then not long after that in 77, I went to my first women's music concert and that was Teresa Dell.
Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
I'm probably most proud of A Family of Friends, which is a song I co-wrote with Sue Fink. The process of writing it was really exciting, both of us sitting at the piano. She had a lot of the song done already, and she and I wrote some of the words together, and it was great to work with a songwriter like her, because I greatly respect her work, and she's taught me a lot. It's a song that I often do at my concerts because it's so empowering to hear everybody sing it with me. I've sung it at gay pride events and a few gigs that might have been hard if it weren't for that. I
I did a gig in Virginia a few years ago where I was asked to leave the stage, partly because they objected to me being an out lesbian. And instead of leaving the stage, I sang A Family of Friends, and I had everyone join me. And there in that small folk coffee house in the basement of a church, those 20 or 25 people, straight and gay, sang that song with me, and it was very strengthening for me at a time when I needed it. And I think that it helped them too.
I need to step in here and give some background. Jamie mentioned Sue Fink, and for those of you who may not know, Sue Fink wrote one of our anthems called Leaping Lesbians, which appeared on the Lesbian Concentrate album in 1977. And in 1992, Jamie produced a compilation album called A Family of Friends. It included the work of a wide variety of women artists, showcasing a number of different styles of music. The artists included Alex Dopkin, Venus Envy, Sue Fink, Pam Hall, Diane Lindsay, June and Jean Millington, Leah Zakari, and the group Your Girlfriend, among others. And for the song Family of Friends, a very special gathering was organized. It combines the voices of such wonderful artists as Margie Adam, Robin Flower, Deidre McCalla, Chris Williamson, Trett Fury, Sue Fink, the Millingtons, Monica Grant, Therese Chandler, and Susan Herrick, to mention just some of them. Jamie, how would you compare your recording of Family of Friends to the original version?
When we originally recorded A Family of Friends, that was back in 92, a year before we released the album. And what an experience that was. You know, it was so exciting to be in a room full of vocalists, many of them women in women's music who I had admired for a long time, and some of them I hadn't really met before. I mean, there I was singing, you know, standing next to Deirdre McCalla, and Margie Adam was there, and Robin Flower, and June Millington, and lots of women that have been around for a while and have done things that I thought were just fabulous. And so the energy was really high in the room because we really liked being with each other, and we had a lot of fun figuring out the arrangements. We had never sung all together before. We just all gathered around the piano and went to it. And at the end of the day, we had this song. I wanted to re-record A Family of Friends, partly because the original recording is going to be out of print in a year or so, and I didn't want to put out the album again to re-release it. And besides that, I wanted a version that was really more my own. I've been doing it at a lot of my concerts, and often the audience sings along with me, and I get requests for it. And so I decided to put it on Listen. And instead of having a room full of vocalists, I invited four, and three of them had never met each other before. Just threw them all in the room together, and they figured things out. And that recording has a more intimate feel, more like, you know, a few friends getting together and singing, and I like that.
I was very pleased that Jamie decided to re-record the song for her new album so that we can enjoy yet another version of it. And here it is.
Thought your mother knew, though you never said a word. You always thought that she'd come through, but I guess she never heard. When you said those words out loud, you thought she'd be okay. You asked for love and her support, but she just turned away. It up. Forever was in store for them, but hope was not enough. Illness overlooked their dreams, it can disregard the heart.
Now he goes upstairs alone and lies there in the dark. Let us be your family. Let us take you in. Let us be your family. A family of friends. It's more than ties of birth. It's more than flesh and blood. We're always waiting there for you. A family is simply love. Let us be your family. Let us take you in. Let us be your family, a family of friends. Let us be your family. Let us take you in. A family, a family, a family. Let us be your family.
I want to jump back in Jamie's career and ask about three of my favorites of her songs that deal with gay rights. So you'll get to hear her talk a little about each song before you hear it. From your Center of Balance CD from 1992, please tell us about I'm Sorry.
I'm Sorry is a satirical piece I wrote a few years ago, and all I did was I took all the stuff that, you know, queers have been told over the years, and I turned them around, you know. What if heterosexuals were the minority, and we were shaking our fingers at them? What would we say? I'm sorry that you're straight. Where do I send the card? Stuff like that. It's another one of my songs that's been a little misunderstood over the years, but I figure, heck, if I'm not pissing somebody up, I'm not doing my job.
Sister, I'm sorry. Your life didn't turn out. Maybe when you were growing up, you were never a Girl Scout. Maybe you only wore dresses or were too close to your mother. There's a reason for your condition. It has to be one thing or another. I'm sorry that you're straight. It can't be your fault. Have you tried counseling or talking to God? There's lots that you can do. There's help for people like you. Oh, you could change if you wanted to. Brother, I'm sorry. Your life didn't turn out. Maybe when you were growing up, just never figured it out. Maybe you never learned to dance or wear clothes that were your mother's. There's a reason for your condition. It has to be one thing or another. I'm sorry that you're straight. It can't be your fault. Have you tried counseling or talking to God? You bookstore or take the ballet. Go to a gay bar and hope to get laid. Take up touch football, get carried away. Be happy, be joyful, be gay. I'm sorry that you're straight. Where do I send the card? Living as a heterosexual really must be hard. There's lots that I can do to persuade someone like you. Oh, you could change if you wanted to. Yeah, you could change if you wanted to. Oh, you could change if you wanted to. Just click your heels together and say, there's no one like homos, there's no one like homos, there's no one like homos.
And your 1993 album, Bad Hair Day, gave us Wedding Song and Winona Why Not.
Wedding Song was inspired by an invitation that I received to a wedding, and it was from a woman who had been a lesbian and met a man, fell in love with him, and decided to get married. And this all happened over about a year's time, and we weren't in close contact with each other, but she still considered me a friend, so she sent me an invitation. And I thought, well, it would be really fun to dance with her at the wedding reception. So I wrote the song, and then I went to the wedding and the wedding reception. Or maybe I wrote the song after the wedding. I can't remember now. It was many years ago. But at any rate, in that 1 year's time, she had changed her whole circle of friends. So there I was at the wedding reception with all these people I'd never met before. It was really odd. And I think that the maid of honor and me were the only lesbians there. I didn't stay very long. I felt a little uncomfortable. Not long after that, 2 or 3 years probably, another friend of mine got married. And again, she was someone who identified as a lesbian for a while and had met a man and fell in love with him. But she treated it all very differently. She didn't change her whole circle of friends. She kept, you know, all of her lesbian friends. She had bi friends. She had straight friends. And we had this great wedding reception. She had the DJ put on Wedding Song. And then she dragged me out to the dance floor, still wearing the long white gown and everything. And she's yelling out to the crowd, this is Jamie Anderson's song, and I'm going to dance with her. It was great.
Maybe I'll be polite. And I'll come to your wedding, but I'll dance with the girls. I might even flirt with one or two as we step and twirl. You'll display your sexuality, and so I'll celebrate mine. Don't expect me to dance with the groom. Pardon me for being flip, but it's only right, 'cause lesbian couples don't get this official green light. Some of us use rituals, say sweet words and more, and while it's valid to us, we get no wedding presents nor flowers at our door. And I'll come to your wedding, but I'll dance with the girls. I might even flirt with one or two as we step and twirl. You'll display your sexuality, and so I'll celebrate mine. Don't expect me to dance with the groom, 'cause I wanna dance with the bride. Thank you. shy to marry this gentleman. I hope your marriage smile goes on through the years. But at your wedding, I'll announce what you're dreading, that half of your guests are queer. And we'll come to your wedding, but we'll dance with the girls. We might even kiss each other. And so we'll celebrate ours. That's right, don't expect us to dance with the groom, 'cause we want to dance with the bride. So, who do you think will catch the bouquet? Maybe the maid of honor. You know, that would be pretty ironic since she's your ex-lover. Mind if I bring a date? What if she catches the bouquet? Do you need any music at your wedding? You know, I just wrote this song and, oh, never mind.
Well, I thought Wynonna Why Not had nice alliteration in it. I remember on one of my long drives while I was on tour, I just jotted down that phrase, and I always thought Wynonna was a little on the butch side. I have to confess I don't really have a crush on her, but I knew that other women did, and that it would be fun to write a song about her. And I, by the way, I think she's a fabulous artist. I don't know if she's heard the song. I never got a letter from her attorneys or anything, so I don't know.
Girls night out, have mercy on me. Who is that handsome woman I see? Standing there so sure and strong, looking for love in a country song. Why not me? Why not me? I'm the lesbian next door, baby. You're a strong woman and I think hot. I think I like you a lot. Wynonna, why not? You don't need a manly stud. Make me an honorary judge. Love is alive and it's here in me. Why not me? Why not me? I'm the femme next door, baby. You're a butch woman and I think you're hot. I think I like you a lot. Why not me? Why not me? I'm the Democrat next door, baby. You want love? I got some, even if you're Republican.
That was a little bit of Wynonna Why Not. Jamie has worked quite a bit with singer, songwriter, and producer Lisa Koch. Lisa is also well known for being a member of the group Venus Envy, and Lisa produced the song Why No to Why Not for Jamie. I had a chance to ask Lisa about producing that song and working with Jamie. Here's Lisa Koch.
I produced that song and a couple other songs for her Bad Hair Day album, and we did it at a small studio in Seattle with local musicians, and I remember laughing a lot. I remember laughing a lot and singing backup harmony, and she let me sing on that, and that was a beautiful thing. Lots of fun, and we've worked together at a lot of different festivals. She's just not right. She is just not right.
And it's only fair to hear Jamie's comments about working with Lisa.
Lisa Koch is not only a scream on stage, she's very funny off stage. She produced my Never Assume album, which came out in 95. And I tell you, I wish we could have kept the tape running all the time, because the stuff that we did that didn't make it on the CD is just, it made my sides hurt. I was laughing so hard.
We won't be able to cover some of her other songs that I consider classics, like No Closet, Straight Girl Blues, and I Want to Be a Straight Guy, all of which I've played on my show in the past. But before we get back to the new album, I wanted to ask Jamie a question about songwriting. Jamie, how do you go about writing a humorous song? Is there some means that works for you, or does the muse just have to hit?
Writing a humorous song isn't much different for me than writing a serious song. I carry a notebook with me all the time, and I jot down song ideas whenever I get them. I have a terrible memory, so if I tried to remember stuff like that when I finally sat down to write a song, I would just draw a blank. So I carry this notebook around with me in my purse or my pocket, and I jot down a topic or a line, or sometimes I steal pieces of conversation or a news item I hear on the radio or something. And when I'm in the space to write, I sit down with my guitar and I flip through that book. And sometimes I land on the humorous ideas and sometimes the more serious ones. And sometimes when I'm sitting down to write a serious song, it comes out funny, or vice versa. And yeah, the muse has to pretty much wham me over the head pretty hard for me to be inspired to write and for me to be in a space to write.
Okay, from the new CD, the song Listen. It's a little bit heavy. Can you tell us something about it?
Listen was one of the hardest songs on the album to write and to perform because it makes me feel vulnerable. I didn't do it for almost a year after I wrote it because I was so afraid of the song. But I did play it for a few close friends and for one or two audiences, and they really seemed to like it. You know, even though it was scary for me, they enjoyed the song. So I sort of got away from my fear and started doing the song. And it got an interesting reaction. There were a few audiences that forgot to clap right away. You know, they just sat there. And at first I was worried about this reaction. I asked a friend of mine about it, and she said, Jamie, it's just that the song is so raw. You know, they're a little stunned. So I took that as a positive response.
Why did you make it the title track?
Now, the reason that I made it a title cut of my album was for two reasons. One, I liked the title. I liked making the title of a CD Listen, because that's what I'd like people to do. But also, folks like the song, and even though it's scary, I thought that I should draw some attention to it. I have this saying above my desk that I look at all the time. It's a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, and it says, "You must do the thing you cannot do." And putting the song on an album and titling the CD after it is something I thought I couldn't do.
You followed me around. I hardly knew you. Then we talked a while. You were kind of cute. That night you saw. She's taken. You didn't listen. You didn't listen. brushed your hair, and I thought this isn't right. I have a girlfriend back at home. I should leave, I should say no. She doesn't make me feel this way. I shouldn't stay. I didn't listen. Forgive myself for not listening to our love when it needed help. Instead, I turned to you, opened up my heart this time. The path to love is not always a straight line. I've learned my lesson. You are listening for me.
Jamie wanted to slip in some closing remarks.
JD, I want to thank you for all that you've done for queer music. I appreciate the history that you present in your queer heritage shows and on This Way Out. And I'm glad that somebody is preserving our history. I don't want people to forget about performers like Ma Rainey, Romanofsky and Phillips, and Meg Christian. And I'm afraid that that would happen if it weren't for people like you. There was a guy in the early 1900s named Alan Lomax who did a lot of field recordings of folk artists all over the country. And if it weren't for him, we wouldn't know or hear a lot of, you know, Appalachian tunes, and tunes from other parts of the country. He just went out with a recording, a big recording machine and filed these away with the Library of Congress. And they've proven very valuable in knowing our history for folk music. And I think that in some sense you feel that place for queer music. Now, you're not out there recording it yourself, but you're collecting all that music. And you're the most knowledgeable person I know about queer music, and I really appreciate your work. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. It's always nice to be appreciated, and even nicer when it's for a labor of love. I do try to do these shows with a sense of history, so it's a special treat when I can get the artists themselves talking about their music. And copies of these shows currently go to 3 different gay and lesbian archives, so folks in the future will be able to hear about our music. Okay, enough about me and QMH. Time does not allow us to get to some of the other songs on Jamie's new CD that deserve attention. There are songs about relationships, about adoption, gun control, and potato chips, and they all work well together. I had a real problem choosing which of the songs from the new CD to use to end the show. It was a toss-up between the really sexy song, I Want to Drive, or the song about being out of a relationship and the only thing that she missed was the dog. I went for the dog, even if it did mean that my show would end with the word but. Oh well. So before we hear the song, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show, and I want to thank the 40 Ikes for their interview. It was so nice to share their music with you. And a special thanks to Jamie Anderson for my feature interview. I hope I didn't gush too much, but interviewing one of my favorites was a real treat for me. You can find out more about her music at www.jamieanderson.com. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. And don't forget to check out my website. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. Now from Jamie Anderson's new CD, Listen, here is I Miss the Dog.
Since we broke up, all I do is cry. I miss the warmth and the soulful eyes. My heart aches right to the core, but it's not you I'm pining for. I miss the dog more than I miss you. She's glad to see me, for you that's not true. Oh, how I wish that dog was still mine. She could drink out of my toilet anytime. When she sees me, she jumps up and down. She has a cute smile, better than your frown. When I need her, she always comes through. She thinks I'm perfect, unlike you do. I miss the dog more than I miss you. She's glad to see me, for you that's not true. I want to pet that cute furry head, even if she's rolled in something dead.
Yeah, I remember the time that, you know, she used to, well, actually she did this a lot, jump the fence and we'd have to get her out of doggy jail, and then she dug that huge crater out in the backyard and it rained for a week and it filled with mud and you fell in. And do you remember the time she ate 6 bagels off the kitchen counter and had gas for a week? I miss that.
I miss the dog more than I miss you. She's glad to see me, for you that's not true. Oh, how I miss that cute little mutt. Her kiss is sweet if she hasn't licked her butt.